Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 1, we finished with verse 7. Today we will be starting with verse 8.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, friend, we are continuing today in the book of Titus, chapter 1, and today we'll be at verse 8 in our verse-by-verse study of the Word of God. Now, as always, we ask you to have a good King James Bible. And you say, why King James Bible? Because it's translated from the most accurate manuscripts, the accurate manuscripts, that of the Textus Receptus for the New Testament particularly. And so that's what we use, is a King James Bible, because that's the one that's translated from it, even more so than the New King James, because the New King James does refer to critical notes sometimes in their work in of translation when they had some things that caused a question for them, and they went to some of the critical texts, which are corrupted quite a bit. So I'm thankful for the King James Bible because it's translated from the best, the very best manuscript. Secondly, it's good to have pencil and paper so you can follow along, write things down. I had someone write not too long ago asking about something I'd said, but they wrote down the words and where the passage was found, and it was a help to be able to answer them in that question. So I encourage you to do that as well. And then finally, it's always important to hear from our listeners. You may have a criticism. You may have a compliment. We're not looking for either one. We just want to know that you're listening. But then it is good from time to time to hear of perhaps how God spoke to your heart through a radio broadcast. We had a man get saved listening to our broadcast in another state, and he let us know that he had received Christ. And so we were able to send literature and other things to help him from that point. But I'm saying that to say that if you had something that the Lord blessed you with, then just write us and let us know. Everybody knows that have followed this program that in December, we do a question and answer part. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask of me to answer, then we encourage you to send that letter. You can either email it through our website or at the physical address that our announcer gives you at the conclusion of each day's broadcast. And so we'll be starting that, and I'll be doing the questions and answers, and we're looking forward to it. I am excited about the Titus study right now because it's been a while since I actually recorded this. I started chapter 1 and just recently recording that, and right now we're moving along in it. I'd like to have had everything done of this entire first chapter, but I went for months without doing any recording because of a stroke that involved my eyesight. And now that eyesight is back and we're going back full-fledged. So I hope that this study of the book of Titus has been a special blessing to you. We had Colossians going on there for a while, and that was something we did way back in the early 2000s on our broadcast. And so here we are years later, and we did it again. Cover the period that I was out. So I hope that you enjoyed listening to Colossians. And now we're going to start with the book of Titus, as we already have. But today we're going to start with the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 8. So please be in there. Let me just look at the verse before that. Verse 7 says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort. Okay, and he wants his people exhorted, but to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so again, I find that a very interesting two verses there, verses 8 and 9. Now, Titus had been given requirements of men that he was to ordain to be elders, that is, pastors, in those local churches that had been planted. These men had been trained by this team of missionaries who were under the direction of the Apostle Paul. And as ordained men themselves now, having learned at the feet of Paul, they were learning now to teach others as pastors. They would help plant church, get them going, and then they would turn the work over. Is that a special blessing to know of what they were doing? So we take up now from last time, and in verse 8 there, you need to keep in mind that these qualifications for men who are to be ordained to be elders, that is, pastors in the local churches, pastors who are true to the word, and these requirements fit in with the very theme of this book, behavior as becometh holiness. And so that is why we have it in there. You know, the book of Jude speaks of the last days in Jude verse 4, that they had turned the grace of God to lasciviousness. Now you see a lot of preachers doing that. And as you go through the Bible, you'll see that in 2 Corinthians as well, and other passages where they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And God will judge those pastors. He will actually judge those pastors that remove the holiness and the standards of God's word in order to attract the world. And so I want you to understand, those judgments are going to hit the pastors whether they realize it or not. For some, they'll be saved so as by fire. For others, they may have been not true saved people. But then others may see the chastening and the scourging of God in this life. So it is important that we ordain pastors, that we call pastors who fit the bill here. Now, as we look at this, in these qualifications for men to be ordained to the elders, and by the way, the pastor's to be a husband of one wife. Now, I know today that they're redefining gender and all this other stuff in this country. Going against the word of God doesn't make anything right, okay? And so the husband of one wife, the Bible's very clear. He's talking about a man, a husband over a woman. And a woman is not to usurp the authority in the local church over the man, not to teach the men. And so she can teach. She can teach, but she teaches ladies. But not men. Now, if anybody has a problem that's listening to me on that today, if you want to correct that by the word of God, go ahead and try, but you can't correct it by the word of God. So God, when he established the church, laid out his parameters for it, and that's that by which you operate. Now, to think that this is really down on women, no, it's not. I mean, look at what Christ said, wives be in subjection to your own husbands as the church is to be unto Christ. All right? Now, so we're to be, as Christians, in subjection to Christ. Now, if a man expects his wife to have this great subjection to him, and he doesn't have that subjection to Jesus Christ, he is a lousy testimony for his wife, his family, and everybody else, because he should not expect more of her to be submitted to him than he is to the Lord. So, we see things such as that, and this is the way God ordained it. So, God's not against women. As a matter of fact, he told the men to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that is a strong love, willing to die, and he did die and shed his blood for it. And you have to be, as a man, willing to even die for your wife and family. So, we see that God is not against women. He created women. That's right. The first woman was created by God, just like the first man was created by God, and then Eve by a rib from Adam's side, which God took and formed him. Now, I've said all that. I can remember speaking in a place in which one of the men said to me, "Our pastor is a great example of a lover of hospitality." Why? Because that was one of the requirements that we just read here in verse 8. But a lover of hospitality. So as you look at the verse there, he told me that. I mean, I was there, and it was a Christian college, and he was the pastor of the church of that college, and the man worked in that college and under the pastor. And he said, "Our pastor's a great example of the lover of hospitality." And then he went on to explain why. He says he has the entire church to his house over a period of time. Now, it was a large church, very large church. And three Sunday nights of the month, he would have about 20 to 30 people at his house. After services, they would have snacks and fellowship. So in the course of a year, everyone gets to visit in the home of the pastor and his family. And they say that is an example of hospitality. And he went on to say he even has a time when all the deacons and their wives come over to his house for dinner. And they serve their deacons and their wives there at the dinner. And they have a time of fellowship together. They do that once a year. And so he was telling that to me. And I said, well, you must pay him pretty well for him to be able to take care of those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that you have in your church like that three times a month and coming and taking at different times. And when they come over throughout the year, by the time he's got them all and the deacons and their wives, you must pay him very well to be able to give himself to that kind of hospitality, to buy all that food and other things that he does, and then to clean up the house and to do all the work afterwards. Boy, I tell you, you must take good care of him.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.